I know this is a spring break, start of spring break. I always thought we had to have spring before you could have a break. It hadn't been here a whole lot yet, has it? But it'll come, and we will gripe a little bit because it's going to get too hot. My message this morning is walking in the steps of Jesus, and if you have your Bibles with you or your phone, which reminds me, I probably ought to turn mine off just in case it rings during the message. Should have done that before, but I'm getting old and forgetful. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11 for our purpose. This morning, I want to ask you a question. This morning, as we start, if Jesus is our model, and he is, don't you think that we should model his attitude and his actions and the path that he walked? Attitudes are something vitally important, isn't it? Most of us could turn to our spouse and say, hey, you better check your attitude. But then they turn around and do the same thing to us. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. When I was a young boy, 30, 40 years ago, I used to watch my dad work. My dad was a carpenter, but none of it ever rubbed off on me. He could build a lot of things. My memory goes back a little bit because some of you are old enough to have known my dad just a little bit. I won't point you out, but my dad and Bud Preston's dad, Roy, had a lot in common. They were short. Who had wives a head taller than each one of them. But they ruled the roost as much as Mom and Betty let them. And but it was a good time back then. The problem we have sometimes, and I have, Dad had certain expressions when he worked, and sometimes a frown or a few words if it didn't go quite right. And other times when he came out just like he wanted, he'd smile and be in a good attitude, a good way. But there's other traits that he had in life. And as I grew up, I began to imitate some of those traits that he had. And I would imagine that each one of you have imitated some of your parents' traits. There's something in you that Mom and Dad did that has gripped you and become a part of you. The only one that I didn't really inherit from Dad was when he died, he still had hair. And I was not fortunate enough to do that, but that's okay. But it's part of our human nature, isn't it, to imitate? From our earliest moments, God created us to imitate what we see and what we hear. Our kids all grew up in this area, and they talk just like you and me talk in the nice, wonderful Indiana dialect. But we have one grandson who, in his early years, grew up in Kentucky, and he left there, and then they moved back there 4 or 5 years ago, and he's now imitating the accent of the people in Kentucky. So we do that, and we call him our hillbilly grandson. But you imitate where you're at. So what does that say to us as brothers and sisters in Christ? Do not we do our best to imitate Jesus Christ in what he has done for us? Well, how do we do that? How do we walk in Jesus' steps? Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians 2, 5 through 11. As you know, Jesus' Christ-like life is filled with different outlooks on life. For example, how do you get life? Well, you die to yourself. How do you get to be first? You place yourself last. That's what Jesus did, right? So what I want to talk about this morning is how can you scale and experience the highest of heights that any human being can attain? Wouldn't that be awesome if we could have the heights and do what God wants us to do? Now, the world system is entirely different. It's telling you that the way to scale the heights is to gain all the worldly pleasures that you can, gain all the power and influence that you can, gain all the thrills that you can, gain all of the money and the possessions that you can, but that's not what Jesus said, is it? That's not what Jesus modeled in his life. So according to the scriptures, if we're going to scale the height of this life that we're living, this Christian life for God, the lower we bend, the higher we fly with Jesus Christ. That's how Jesus lived. And when you read the accounts of his life, you cannot arrive at any other conclusion than he lived a life of humility and service. So if we call ourselves Christian followers, guess what? We must imitate and model the life of Jesus Christ here on earth as we follow him. So let's look at the scriptures in Philippians together this morning. It says this: your attitude should be the same of that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Humility is the greatest trait, one of the greatest traits that Jesus had. He left the splendor of heaven to come down for a lowly life here on this earth, to teach us and to help us. So what was his attitude? He humbled himself. Now think back with me for a moment about Jesus' life. Think about who Jesus was before he was born here on earth as a baby. Jesus was exalted from the very beginning of time as the second member of the triune God. Jesus has always been. Jesus is eternal. John the Apostle wrote this of the account of Jesus' life in John 1:1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, who was, who is coming, the Almighty. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last one. Jesus is saying that everything began in him, and everything will wind down in him. He is eternal. So before his time here on earth as a human being, he lived in the glory and splendor reserved only for God Almighty. Now think about that. Before Jesus came as a little baby, he existed with all the best that there is in the universe without limitation. All power, all glory, all beauty, all comfort, all importance, and all pleasure, it was his without limitation. Rule over all. He was God and possessed all the rights and privileges that came with it. So what attitude did he display? He became humble. In other words, he emptied himself out. He emptied himself of his rights and privileges of God. He didn't deprive his divinity. He was still God, but he deprived himself of his rights and privileges of heaven to come to earth for you and me. How does that make us feel? Jesus did it all for you and me. An attitude of humility. In our day and age, we have all kinds of people and groups who stand up for what they think is their rights. And because they think they are treated unfairly, they get angry, irritated, and hurt. We see that on TV and see it in our newspapers all the time, don't we? Every pride we have, every anger we experience, every hurt that we feel can be traced to the right that we believe that we are clinging to. Every time somebody does something to us, we say they are hurting our rights. We have groups all over the United States of America and the world who say, you're stepping on my rights. You can't do that. And they're running down Christianity, they're running down the church, they're running down a lot of things in this world. But every hurt we have can be traced to a right that we are clinging to in our lives. And we live in a country that's big on rights. I certainly believe personally very deeply in human rights and treating all people with dignity, and because every person bears the image of the living God and therefore deserves respect and compassion. We are to love as Jesus Christ loved. As Christians, we don't agree with some of those rights, but we have ours too, right? And we sometimes have those stepped on as well. But in our personal relationships, the reason sometimes we struggle with others is because we are holding on to a right of what we believe. Marriages fall apart because one or both cling to their rights. We lose our inward peace because we're clinging to a right. Jesus modeled just the opposite, didn't he? Even though he was God with infinite rights, he emptied himself of those rights. And the scripture says he made himself nothing that he might be a servant. Rights. Sometimes we have arguments in church because we believe one way and somebody else believes another, and we're so strongly in what we believe that we do not even have a heart of compassion with somebody else. But everybody has a right. I always tell Jackie, you have the right to be wrong if you want to. But you ought to see her marks on the wall. She's got a bunch of them up there. But we are also to model Jesus' actions as well. Have you ever noticed as a parent how your children model your actions? That should make us think a little bit about the kind of example that we are setting for our children. I remember years ago when I was a custodian out at East Lawn, we had one of our kindergarten kids who had a very foul mouth. And no one expressed that in classroom, but in the hallways and other places as well. He used cuss words, and which seemed normal for him, because at home, those words were used all the time. So our kids imitate us more than they think, or we think that they do. So we need to be careful for the example that we set for our kids. that we are living the right kind of life for them and setting the right kind of examples for them. As believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we are to imitate the attitudes and the actions of Him. How did Jesus act? Well, there was a time when, you remember this, as some of you do, and some of you younger folks maybe don't remember this, but there's a time when we wore that bracelet that said, "What would Jesus do?" And we would, everything that, you remember that too, huh? Good deal. Must be modern stuff. But that is a good question, isn't it, for us? When we think of something, a decision we have to make, what would Jesus do? What would His attitude be on this? What would His action be on this? And we try to follow that action more than what we would want as a self. But we would do well to do that as we make the decisions in our lives. Jesus assumed the role of a servant, taking on the likeness of mankind. And when He had come as a man in His external form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross, in which we will be observing in this Lenten season. We're moving through that process. When we observe communion together, we remember what Jesus and His disciples in the upper room, how they enjoyed their Last Supper together. It's found in John 13. And sometimes we forget the setting in which that occurred. I was fortunate one time on a trip to Israel to be up in that upper room where they believe that that's where Jesus was with His disciples. And it wasn't anything fancy, that's for sure. But it was a place where they got together and observed the Passover Supper and everything that went on that evening. But sometimes we forget that setting, because if we relive that for just a little bit, the people in that time wore, they were almost barefoot, or they wore sandals, and they'd walk on the same roads and the paths that the sheep and the cattle and the goats, and their feet got really filthy and dirty and sandy and all of that stuff. Compared to our modern day probably activities, it would be kind of like you and me walking through a pasture where the cattle have been. You ever do that? Walk through the pasture where the cattle had been, and that nice, warm, soothing stuff got in between your toes. I won't tell you what that is, but that was you certainly had to go home and wash. That's for sure. So back in that day, when the people would arrive at home, they would not only wash their hands and clean up for the meal, but they would wash their feet as well. And if they were coming to dinner, that was really important, because in the Middle Eastern tables were about 18 inches high, and they would lean on one elbow and eat with the other hand. And the way they lined up, they would be laying down parallel, and the feet of one would be next to the head of the next person. And certainly you didn't want stinky feet. They'd kind of spoil your appetite just a little bit. So Jesus, having the Last Supper with His disciples, and not one of them was humble enough to wash one another's feet, Jesus Himself got up and poured water in a bowl and began to wash and to dry the disciples' feet. Out of humility and as a servant, He did that for His disciples. He has that same wish for you and me today to do that same thing. So when Jesus showed up here on this earth, He showed up as a servant. It says He acted like a slave totally devoted to the interests of somebody else. Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful, wonderful model for you and me as Christians? To be devoted fully to the interests of somebody else, to help them walk in the steps of Jesus. You see, this mission that he was on was an obedience to the Father. And the actions of humility and service cost him his life. Obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. My brothers and sisters in Christ, genuine humility shows up on how we act. Are you acting like a servant to your family members? To your class members? To your workmates? Your brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, you are if you're truly a Christ follower. The third thing today is that we are to model his path. Verses 11 or 9 through 11 again in our scripture lesson says, therefore, God exalted himself to the highest place and gave the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now, here's the thing about God. When we are obedient to him and serve others, there will be a time of exalting God in that, giving praise and honor to the one who has given us salvation through his grace. And as his name, every knee that has ever existed, every tongue that has ever been, will bow and declare that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. And in that day, the follower of God will hear the words that are stated in Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share the master's happiness. Can you imagine how wonderful it will be to experience the wonderful, unblemished joy of God? It's hard to imagine that sometimes, isn't it? But that's what awaits those of us who model Jesus. So if you truly want to know how to fly high, then you must bend low and become a servant and follow in the steps of Jesus. Andrew Murray was a writer in the 18th century, just a little bit before our time. And he wrote a book that's called Humility. And in it, he says this. He says, the highest lesson a believer has to learn is humility. Brother, here is the path to higher life. Down, lower, down. You see, that's the path of Jesus. He was there, but he came here. Humility of Jesus for us. When you empty yourself of pride and rights, he will fill you with joy and peace. If you're not serving others, you're on the wrong path. God's given each of you the gift of serving, and it comes in different forms for each of us. The forms that Jackie and I have served the Lord has changed down through the years. I will always be grateful to the Ideville First Church of God. They are the ones who sent us out into ministry. You are the ones who sent us out in ministry. I don't know whether that's just to get rid of us or really to put it there, but you sent us out. And I've always been grateful for that, because you not only sent us out, you kept us in your prayer. And there were people in this church who knew where we were going, and our salary at that time was really, really low. And some of you, God bless you, gave financially for us for a period of 6 months to a year after we left, and it was really, really appreciated in what you've done for us. But God has led us on a path down through the years. I mentioned some of those not to puff me up or to puff Jackie up, but to let you know what how God calls people to do certain things. And it's a wonderful path that he called us on, and it's all because of his grace and you, the Audeville First Church of God, that we were able to do what we have done in life. We went from Sunday school superintendent here to a deacon here, to an elder here, to board chairman, to pastoring, to working for the General Conference and Western Region Director, to retiring twice and coming back here and being your pastor and doing intentional ministry after the second retirement. And now I'm doing a part-time pastor at the Faith Covenant Church. But all of this is only possible because of God's grace. And I say all of this to say that this church, God's church, has some of the most loving and caring people that I have ever had the privilege of serving. This is a serving church. You are a serving church. And I am so happy to be a part of that. You have great things in store for you. God is not done with you. And he's calling each of you to step up to the plate and do what God is calling you to do. For outreach outside of this church, into this community and beyond, to win souls for Jesus Christ. Now, your journey might not be the same as ours was, but follow in the steps of Jesus and serve him as he is serving you. You will never regret the journey that Jesus put you on. But you must realize that God has a journey for you, individually and a church, and has a goal for your life. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:12, I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. The words I want you to see are the words that says, for that which Christ took hold of me. You see, Paul understood that the Lord took hold of his life with a goal in mind. And that is true for each and every one of us. Here's the thing. We must recognize that we have not arrived yet. Paul not only recognizes that the Lord had a great purpose for his life, he realizes that he has not arrived at that purpose yet. He knows he is not where he should be. He's aware of his faults and the areas where he needs to grow. The word for perfect also means complete. Paul recognizes that he's not finished yet. Chuck Swindoll is a great preacher of our time, says it well. He says, God is seeking progress, not perfection. We move forward every step of the journey, letting God do what God can do through us. You remember in scriptures that he said when he left, told his disciples that you will do greater things than I have done? How many of us really believe that? But he gives us that direction, doesn't he? Greater things that you will do that I have done. Because you could reach people that God couldn't. You know people who don't know Jesus. It is our responsibility to plant the seed. Somebody else comes along with water, and the Holy Spirit will convict. But we can't do it inside the building. We've got to do it outside the building. So what's the one thing that you're focused on? Are you focused upon stuff? Paying bills, getting power, having temporary peaks of enjoyment? Don't you want more than life than that? Press for the prize, as Paul says. Seek to know him better and more fully. Jesus tells us that when we seek first the kingdom of God, the other things we're concerned about will take care of themselves. Some of us, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but some of us who are maturing a little bit more all the time are near the finish line in this life. Our earthly life is near its conclusion. Certainly put myself in that category, because quite honestly, I never thought I'd live this long. We cannot afford to coast. There's no such thing as retirement in the Christian life. Now's the time to kick in and to finish strong. Others of you are just getting started. Don't give up, because it becomes difficult sometimes. Keep working. Be patient. Growth takes time. Others of you are right in the heat of the race. Don't let down. Keep pushing. I know it's exhausting at times, but focus upon the goal that God wants you to do and strive to finish well. Paul is encouraging us to be more than names on a church roll. He doesn't want us to merely call ourselves Christians and to think ourselves as Christians. He wants us to know Jesus Christ and wants you and me to be real followers of Jesus as well. And may God grant that you and I might want that as well. As we close today, attitudes are so important. Actions are important. What we do and the example that we set are vitally important. Heard a long time ago, and you probably heard this too. You will be the only Bible that some people see. So what does that say to us in our walk with Jesus? We need to be humble. We need to love one another in spite of differences. And we need to move on to do what Jesus has called us to do. As we close again, the altar is always open. The altar is a time of prayer, of just coming to the Lord and seeking his presence. If there's forgiveness to be done, there's no better place to be in an altar to do that. But it's a time for a rededication of our lives, just to seek his presence, sometimes just to come to talk with God. So we invite you to stand and let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. If you're led to come here to the altar, we would invite you to do that. Let's stand, close with a word of prayer.